Hello, everyone. This is Eric C. Jackson with another podcast. The theme behind today's podcast is an eye for an eye. It's something that I just jotted down a thought about it and posted it on my Instagram channel. And after watching the news last night, it really just jumped back out at me because I mean, if you've seen the news, it's been really sad, but I think it just took me back to my thought because it's exactly what's happening today and what's going on, especially in politics. And so what I'm going to do is just share my thought with you and then try to dig a little deeper into my thoughts behind it, and why it's important for me to talk about this. And so, for you guys listening, this is my website, ericcjacksonstudio.com. And of course, if you scroll down to the bottom here, over here in this left-hand corner, the footer, are my social media channels. And so that's where you can find my work at. And I do have to edit some things because I'm no longer on Tumblr or TikTok. And I'm really just trying to narrow down how much time I spend on social media. But yeah, this is most of the time I post the most on Instagram, which is tied to Facebook. So, to my thought, all right. So the thought is, if we always handle conflict with an eye for an eye, eventually no one will be able to see. If we always handle conflict with an eye for an eye, eventually no one will be able to see. And then my caption I have is insult for insult, pain for pain, hate for hate. Unless avoided whenever possible, the cycle never ends. And this jumped back out, just jumped out at me again yesterday or last night while I was watching the news because of the fourth indictment that has been charged against our former president. And it just made me, just watching that unfold, it just really made me sad and disappointed about just the entire political situation and what's going on in the country, in America. So it made me think about what's behind all of this. And really, it comes back to how we handle conflict as a society. And right now, everything is an eye for an eye, as far as I can see. And eventually, if we handle conflict like that, no one will be able to see. So I feel like that's where we're heading in the United States, is that no one's able to see. We're so busy going back and forth with each other. The things that really matter, no one's really paying attention to. It's either being glossed over or ignored entirely. And so now the people who really need help, the people who really need attention, they're not getting that. Because we're caught in these conflicts of whether it's social issues, political issues, conflicting ideologies or worldviews. It's just we're getting caught in this conflict. And I think of an eye for an eye because it's always one insult, you know, insults just getting toss back and forth, a jab here, a jab there. People are being snarky to each other. And it's getting to a point where on the extreme ends of the spectrum, you just have this hate just sitting there and is growing. And then the people who are more towards the middle, we're kind of getting lost or forgotten about, or kind of looking around like what's going on. You know, what's going on in this country? Because everything is politicized. We went from the vaccine to like whether you were vaccinated or not, it became political. The vaccine origin, that also became political. If you thought it was from a natural origin or if it was from a lab, it became political. Whether you wanted to take the vaccine or you were skeptical about taking the vaccine, it became political. And then mixing all of that is race, your ethnicity, for some odd reason. And so now we're at a point where we're moving towards a presidential election in 2024. To me, it's still a long ways away, but now the candidates are going out on a campaign trail. They're sharing their views, which is normal. What's not normal is that the person leading in the polls in the Republican Party has received, what, four indictments now, this year. And the trials the courtroom sessions are set to start in January, and that's when we're supposed to have our primaries. And some people saying it's justice, some people are saying it's political, you know, or election interference. Depending on your views, you can be on one side or the other. And then you run into people who just have given up on the entire process, political process or election process, and they don't care to vote. But honestly, I think those people are becoming less and less because it's getting very contentious now. And it's getting really, it's sad because the justice system is being brought or dragged into this more and more. And the more the justice system gets dragged into politics, the more you don't trust the justice system. So I've heard from Democrats and Republicans about the justice system being weaponized. I've heard Democrats say that the justice system is being weaponized against Hunter Biden and everything that he's facing or not facing, depending on how you look at it. And then, of course, you have Democrats saying the justice system is being weaponized because of the charges, numerous charges against what Donald Trump, you know, President Trump, you know, did, in terms of they're saying that he didn't have a, there was like not a smooth transition of power. You know, when he had to leave office to let President Biden come in and take over as president. I mean, listen, we've been going through this for years. When President Trump won in, what was it, 2016, we had Democrats complaining. Hillary Clinton, Secretary Clinton was complaining about the election not being legitimate. And then when President Trump lost in 2022, he was complaining about the election not being legitimate. So to me, it's the same thing. It's the same thing, but they're saying now that President Trump went further, or he went farther than Secretary Clinton in his objections to the election, and they call it an election interference or process interference or something like that. And I just think it's entirely too political. But this is the eye for an eye approach. And now people are losing sight, like I said, of what really matters. And to share some background about myself in terms of politics, I didn't vote for several years. I think, if I remember correctly, I didn't get involved in the political process until the Al Gore versus George Bush election. And because I live in Florida, I mean, this is my home state. The way that unfolded, as far as determining who actually won the election, that really piqued my interest. Because back then I was watching CNN all the time, would rarely, if ever, watch Fox News. And so that's how I took in my information. That's how I got my information from watching CNN. And I would say back then I was affiliated with the Republican Party, which is weird, right? So I was just like ultra conservative, but I was a CNN watcher. Not that I didn't try to watch Fox News, but every time I tried, it just didn't, I didn't connect with the commentators. And so I would say for me at that particular time, Wolf Blitzer, Anderson Cooper, Aaron Burnett, those were like my top three if I were to watch, you know, their coverage. And I was fine with that. But again, I was still a part of the Republican Party. And then I left the Republican Party and became an independent when I remember I was at the voting booth because I started voting after the Bush Al Gore election went all weird. I started voting after that because I started caring a lot more about election integrity, that type of thing. So fast forward to when I left the Republican Party and became an independent, I was in the voting booth. And I felt like as a Republican, I should vote for the Republican ticket. That was my feeling. But on the ticket for that particular election was John McCain and Sarah Palin for VP, for Vice President. I didn't like my choices at all. I didn't like the ticket. I wasn't, you know, voting for, I believe it was Obama back then. So I didn't like any of the candidates. I really didn't. I wanted options outside of the Democrat and Republican Party, which I think to this day we still don't have a third option, like an independent party. But yes, I voted on party lines. And once I left the voting center, I felt so bad because I didn't even believe in ticket that I voted for. So within a week, I, changed my voter registration, and I've been unaffiliated to a particular party ever since. And I just told myself that I'm going to think independently from either side of the aisle. And I think in this this last election in last year in 22, when there was a lot of senators and House of Representatives and a lot of people needed to be elected, there were some laws that we also or legislation we voted on as well. People across the country voted based on not their, they didn't vote on party lines so much this time around, but it was on the issues. Some issues we agreed with the Republicans, some issues we agreed with the Democrat stance. And I think that's how it should always be. But it hasn't always been that way, and I haven't always been that way. I'll vote on the issues, and sometimes I agree with Republicans, sometimes I agree with Democrats. It depends on what the issue is. But you shouldn't just go to the ballot box and vote on this is my party, and I agree with everything that they say, I agree with everything that they do. That's just not the case. That's not reality. Or at least it shouldn't be. But then when it comes to electing presidents, we only got two sides. And I'm looking at, former President Trump being the front runner for the Republicans. President Joe Biden is the incumbent for the Democrats. I really don't care for either one because they both have too many red flags. I'll put it like that. There's too many red flags for both of them. So I really think that we in American society can benefit, should be able to have an independent party representative that we can vote for. Otherwise, I mean, a couple times since I left the Republican Party, I've just had to write in a name on my ballot of who I wanted the president to be. You just have a blank line, and it's like, okay, if you don't like the Republican candidate, the Republican ticket, or Democrat ticket, write in who you want to vote for. And I've had to go that route, I guess, probably twice. It's disappointing though, because I think that the two parties we have, they shouldn't be doing what they're doing now. Where we had President Trump in office, which President Trump is really not a Republican, he's an independent. There's just no third party for him to fit into. So of course he wasn't gonna represent the Democrats. He had to come to the Republican Party, but he is not a Republican. He's just unto himself. And so to me, that's an independent candidate. I don't know if they have to change laws or tweak laws, alternate laws, whatever they would have to do. It's just like put an independent party officially on all the ballots in all 50 states. Because that'll clear up a whole bunch of nonsense. But I'm just disappointed because as a country, we do need the justice system to work properly. And I know people can argue, and I can't even push back, can argue that when has the justice system been running like it's supposed to? When has it been running correctly? Which is true. There's truth to that. But we're at a place right now where I have never seen this before. In the 40 plus years I've been alive, I've never seen this craziness that's been going on the past 7 years, I want to say, ever since Trump showed up and jumped into the political sphere of the country. There has been one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And you can't, you're not supposed to use the justice system like this. Now, to me, of course, I'm not a lawyer. Not a lawyer. Not really interested in law, to be honest with you. But I'm watching these press conferences with these lawyers. And it's like you can look at someone and tell, okay, this is a shady person. This person is not someone of the highest integrity, especially in this particular situation. It's like this person is just shady. I don't know them, haven't met them, haven't heard of them until they came into this spotlight and brought cases against the former president. But it's like you're watching their press conferences and you're looking at them like, yeah, this person's not right. And I think people, as human beings, we have to have that. Before we get to know a person, it's like sometimes someone can come up to you and start talking, and then it's like, yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this person. I'm gonna shy away from them. Or they're telling you to go in a particular direction. It's like, nah, I'm going to go my own way. So that's the feeling that I get watching these lawyers present their cases against the former president. I'm like, okay, yes, the former president has a terrible temperament, which is the biggest problem that he has. His temperament is awful. And every time he says China virus, I still cringe because I'm like, it's like he doesn't understand how not only what he says, but the way he says it has such a huge impact on how people take in information. And because of not only what he says, but how he says it, it makes it so easy for those on the Democrat side to just, I don't know, like mock him or make him look really bad or turn his words around and all this other type of stuff, right? Or they'll just highlight that he says something wrong, because he does that sometimes as well. He'll just say stuff out the way, and they're like, see, we told you this person's crazy, basically, and he's not fit to run the country. I remember so clearly. I was watching CNN when, in 2016, when President Trump beat Secretary Clinton. I remember watching CNN, and the guy, one of the people on the panel, was like, "Oh my goodness, he's gonna have the nuclear codes to the United States of America." It was such, so many scare tactics used, and I just thought to myself, "This is not how the news is supposed to be covered." And that's when I started drifting away from CNN. And to be honest, I started drifting towards Fox News. But then it took me a while to kind of get used to their whole style and everything. And of course, they have to have everything red, white, and blue. And oh my goodness. Very patriotic, setup as far as their studios, right? So yeah, I didn't jump to Fox News right away. And I think over time, I started going towards independent media. I'll just find someone who's covering the news and I'll listen to what they have to say. And then I will compare that to what I hear on Fox News when I watch Fox News. So right now that's where I am. I'm like juggling back and forth between independent media and Fox News. Excuse me. And then I would kind of jump into CNN every now and again, but it's just been every time I jump into their coverage, it's usually about Donald Trump. It just is. And they seem so consumed by former President Trump that it just drowns out everything else that's going on in the world. And I get back to this is not how the news is supposed to be covered. And of course, when you go to Fox News, everything is here's a problem with Democrat-led cities. Here's a problem with Democrat-led states. Here's a problem with the Democrat Senate. Here's a problem with the Democrat president. It turns into like just forget about the voting part of it. Take the voting out of it because it's like each side is always thinking about we need votes in order to get our candidate in this particular position. It's like forget about the votes for a while. Forget that human beings are voters. You have to just keep everyone as you have to remember that the voters are human beings. No matter what side their political views are on, you have to remember that voters are human beings. And we want to be treated as human beings instead of being treated as voters. So all their decision making and how they cover the news, it gets regurgitated as, oh, we have to talk to voters instead of talking to human beings. So even when I'm watching the coverage on terrible tragedy that's going on right now in Hawaii, it turned into what President Biden did or did not say, or what he could have said to show his condolences to the people in Hawaii. And they dragged something like that into a political sphere. And I'm like, that's not necessary. Like, especially with something like this, don't drag politics into it. And that happens, like I said, it happens on both sides where politics gets dragged into everything. Like, you can't even have a wildfire catastrophe without blaming or pointing out what one side or the other did or did not do. And us as voters, we're supposed to be paying attention to this because it's like, okay, well, I can't vote for this person because they did this or they didn't do this. We have to start treating people like people again. And everyone who's covering the news, they have to start talking to people like people again instead of like voters. And this is how people get caught in the middle. Because I was watching a week ago and they were saying that they did a poll. I don't even know where these polls come from because I never get asked these questions. But they'll say stuff like there was a national poll, and if the election, presidential election, was today, they were saying 43% would vote for Biden, 43% would vote for Trump. And then you got people in the middle who are undecided or they don't care, or are they going to pick someone else? Why is the country split down the middle like this? Why? Because you have the Democrats saying that the Republicans are evil, right? So we shouldn't vote for them. You have the Republicans saying the Democrats are doing all kinds of crazy stuff, so don't vote for them. So why is everybody in the middle? We're basically undecided. I think it's because a lot of people don't look at the political parties and think, oh, the Democrats are so great and Republicans are evil, or Republicans are so great and the Democrats are evil. That's not how we look at it. Like, that's not how a lot of people look at it. And of course, you have extremists on both sides. But there are so many more. Most people, the majority of people are in the middle. And we see the flaws in both parties. And the biggest problem is that neither side seems to want to look in the mirror long enough to understand you're the problem. Just look at your reflection in the mirror and realize you're the problem. Because if you think about it, it goes back to my point that Trump is not a Democrat, Trump is not a Republican, he's an outsider. So why would so many people in the country vote for someone that's not a Democrat or a Republican? And it's like half, like literally million, like tens of millions of people, like half the country. Why would so many people vote for someone who's an outsider, outside of both political parties? If you look at 20 years prior to President Trump showing up on the scene to run for the presidential seat. 20 years before he got there, before he started running for president, what were the Democrats and the Republicans doing? How were we voting in America? I think we did 8 years of Bill Clinton, right? Bill Clinton did 2 terms. And then George Bush came in and said he was going to restore family values and whatnot in the White House because of stuff that happened with President Clinton. So we get President Bush. So we went from Democrat Bill Clinton, 8 years, President Bush, Republican, 8 years. He did 2 terms. And of course, there was a whole bunch of stuff that happened with President Bush, and people start making all these jokes, and it got bad, but for a different reason. So it got bad with Bill Clinton. We switched over to a Republican. We switched from Democrat to Republican. It got bad with George Bush for those 8 years. We switched back to a Democrat. I think we switched to Obama. 2 terms, 8 years, right? We're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It has nothing to do with race. In my opinion, President Trump created a third party, even though he's all into himself. He created an option outside of the Democrats and the Republicans, and people said, you know what? This going back and forth between Democrat and Republican president is not working. We're not getting anywhere. Things are not getting done. So we're going to switch to an outsider and see what he does. And when we switched to an outsider, did the Republicans like him? No. Did the Democrats like him? Of course not. President Trump is not under a party's control, which is why you had people in both parties are just like, we've got to get rid of him. Let's take one issue, for example. The cost of prescription drugs. Out of 8 years of Bill Clinton, 8 years of President Bush, 8 years of Barack Obama, did that issue get resolved? No. No, it did not. It stayed the same. A lot of major issues that we want changed stayed the same, whether we had 8 years of a Democrat or 8 years of a Republican. And then what happens? We, the voters, ask, why isn't this changing? It's always the other side's fault of why something is not changing. If it's a Republican president, they'll say, oh, the Democrats are holding us back. If it's a Democratic president, they'll say the Republicans are holding us back. And it's not just the presidency, it's the Senate and the House of Representatives swinging back and forth between we've got a Democratic majority, we've got a Republican majority. Sometimes you'll have a super majority of one side or the other. Just with the issue of prescription meds, the cost of prescription meds coming down, did anything change between whether it was a regular majority or a super majority with the Senate and House of Representatives? Did anything change? No, nothing changed. And so when I look at the country and I see President Trump being elected in 2016, I'm not thinking about race. I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, how many people in the country are looking for a third option outside of the two major parties? A lot of people. And so if you watch the news now, how many people are saying the same thing in these polls that they're putting out there? They want a third option. Because what we've got on the Democrat and Republican side, we got legal trouble, made up or otherwise, on both sides. And both sides will probably tell you these charges are either made up entirely or they're not as big as the other side is trying to make you believe that they are. So the other side is just blowing these charges out of proportion. Right? Meanwhile, you have so many other issues going on in the country that need to be fixed. And it's not getting fixed. It's not getting addressed or looked at because they're too busy treating us like voters and saying whatever they can to manipulate us to vote for one side or the other. Because that's all it is manipulation. They're trying to influence you, get you to vote for one side or the other. This is how they're covering the news. But see, I'm used to the news being covered this way. What I'm not used to is seeing a presidential candidate get dragged through the justice system like they're dragging President Trump through the justice system with all of these indictments and whatnot. It makes absolutely no sense. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And part of me thinks this is going to blow up in their face, as far as on the Democrat side. It's going to blow up in their face. Now, I haven't watched the news today, but like I said last night, literally last night, I guess the grand jury in Georgia in, was it Fulton County? Decided that they were going to indict President Trump, and this is his fourth one. But what's weird is like, if the indictment came down or they decided this around 8, 9 o'clock last night, how was it that A copy of the indictment made it on the court's website yesterday afternoon, hours before the grand jury decided they were going to indict the president or former president. How did the indictment end up on the court's website? And then they had to hurry up and take it down. And then when they asked the lawyer about it, like, well, how did you have the indictment showing up on the website before the grand jury even decided that they were going to indict the president? And the lawyer just said, I don't know anything about that or about the clerk's job or whatever like that. I just know that the grand jury decided late last night and here it is. So she just totally like glossed over it like that's not a big deal. So now it definitely looks like this whole thing is made up. Like they went into this process weeks ago and decided this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to charge him. And then got people together for the grand jury and say, okay, you guys can be the one to make this look like it's legitimate. And I mean, as clear as day. And that's what we're doing now. And now you expect people, voters, to think this doesn't look sketchy. This doesn't look shady. We're just supposed to not be paying attention to these details. So what I'm hoping, and I'm going to try to close with this. What I'm hoping is that we get away from party lines, or I should say we continue to get away from party lines, and we stick to the issues. And whether they like it or not, some things I agree with Republicans on, some things I'm leaning towards Democrats on, and that's just what it is. That's just the reality of it. Because the rest of us outside of the political sphere, that's not how we live our lives. Is, you know, we have to stay on party lines. That's not realistic. And I would say that's the other reason why I left, you know, having an affiliation with a political party, because it's like, if you're a Democrat, you have to co-sign every single thing they do. If you're a Republican, you got to co-sign every single thing they do. And then even with this debate with the Republican primaries, they're like, oh, you have to sign this form saying that no matter who wins the Republican nomination, you're going to support them. How can you say that even before you know who wins the nomination? They don't, oh, it doesn't matter who's up there, you're going to support them. And we are in August of 2023. And I'm supposed to tell you who I'm going to support in November next year? No. This is not how this voting process, the election process, is supposed to be run. On the Democrat side, it changes. Their mood changes. Sometimes they want to stick with Joe Biden. Sometimes if people start talking about we need to replace him because he's not a good candidate, their mood shifts. Sometimes I watch the CNN coverage and it's like their mood shifts. Sometimes he's strong president. He's, you know, we're behind him, blah, blah, blah. A week later, well, the Republicans have a point about this, and this doesn't look right, and he's not strong here, there, and it's like, you know, what do y'all want to do? What do you guys want to do? It's like, please make up your mind and just go with something. Because right now, it just seems like they're trying to push the incumbent president, he will win the primary because really there is no primary. I think RFK Jr. is not strong enough, and also they don't like him. They did the same thing with Bernie Sanders when he decided to run. It's like if the DNC doesn't like him, if you have major players in the Democratic Party that don't like a person, you can't run in their party. They will put They will bring out so much dirt on you, made up or truthful. Stuff will start coming out about you, and then your campaign's over. So they're especially as of late, they're very picky. Right? Very picky. But at this point, I think they're having this inner conflict of who do we want to run? Who do we want to represent the Democratic Party? Do we want to keep the president that we have to represent us, or do we want to move on to somebody else? And there's disagreement, and then you have some folks that just don't know. But it's very interesting. It's interesting. But it's back to my thought, an eye for an eye. I think that we need a lot of people to grow up. We need to be adults, like mature adults. Because right now there's too many adults that are acting like spoiled brat children, and they're running the country. They're in these high positions of authority, and they're acting like spoiled brat children, bickering about all kinds of stuff. So we need people to grow up. Become the mature adult in the room so that we can move on from all this stuff and get things done. Because while they're going back and forth trying to figure out who they want to run or who they want us to vote for, how many things are falling apart? In the reports that we're hearing out of Hawaii about breakdowns in their alert system and things like that, it's like no one's paying attention to this stuff. I've been hearing about the alarm system was faulty or didn't go off. The water in the fire hydrants wasn't there. I have to go back and do some digging on this stuff. People didn't have warnings or like a wind advisory in the area to know that you're gonna have, tropical storm force winds 65 to 80 miles an hour, like category one hurricane force winds. Like there was no news of that. So there's breakdown of leadership. Like who's in charge of all this stuff, and who's making sure that the systems and the processes are being implemented like they're supposed to. So if something bad happens or unforeseen happens, people aren't caught off guard. But we have so many people with a title and they're getting paid well enough for that title, having that title. But then let something really bad go. Let something go wrong. And then what happens? You have catastrophes like this because the people who are in those positions, they're just there in title. Do they actually stay on top of things? Do they actually know what they're doing? We had the same thing, the same problem years ago with FEMA. And I believe it was Hurricane Katrina, and it hit Louisiana. They got hit really bad, and it was like you have all these people with titles and positions, and they get all these funds from the government. Our taxes and everything get hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars go to all these entities. And then when we need the entities to work, it's like, oh, this is going to be really hard to do this. We have to get organized. When it's like you're already supposed to be organized. That's what you're there for. But then how many times something happens and they're not ready to respond? So it's very frustrating. But I'm gonna do a little bit more digging, to see if I can figure out what happened. I didn't realize that there was wildfires in Hawaii. I didn't realize they were going through some type of drought or a dry season, dry period. Didn't know anything about, the alarm system or how the processes work over there. But yeah, it's bad. It's bad. I mean, it reminds me of the pandemic. I mean, we couldn't agree on if vaccines were good or not. If the mandates were lawful or not, who the vaccines are good for or not so good for, should we be giving them to our kids? Should young men be taking a vaccine? But you have entities that exist that are supposed to handle all these things. They're supposed to have answers to these questions. And then come to find out it's like, they don't really know. Or their story changes. And then again, politics gets dragged into it. And so now if you don't if you were against mandates, oh, you must be a Republican, or you must be a conspiracy theorist. It's not good. It's not good. But I do think that this fourth indictment of the former president is going to wake up a lot more people to what's going on just in these governmental, entities, and we're going to look at us as the voters, as human beings. We're going to look at these people in power and really start holding them to account. Or at least I hope that's what happens at this point. Because for some reason, that fourth indictment, it just hit me a little different. It just hit me a little different to the point where I'm to the point where I'm talking about it now. And I think historically is something that, like my great grandchildren or something, like they can read their history books and say, wow, that happened back then? Yes. And it's something that we have to stay away from. It's something we have to stay away from. Because I'm not a President Trump fan either, but there is such a thing as going too far. You're going to have to let democracy decide on who is going to win the election. You can't use the justice system to do that. I used to laugh when people would use the phrase Russia hoax. Like they remember in 2016, going into 2017, what was for 2 years, 2.5 years, whatever. It was the Russians helped President Trump steal the election from Secretary Clinton. You remember that whole thing? And then come to find out in 2023, it was all made up. It was all made up. They made up the whole thing. There is no evidence whatsoever. But how many years did we hear that? It was made up. And so now when you have these four indictments that came this that, showed up this year, That's after all that stuff that was made up and that we had to listen to for 2 years at least. That's after all that. So it's like, okay, you can kind of fool me one time, but the second time, no. And then on top of that, while President Trump was in office, he got, what's he got? He got impeached twice, right? He got impeached twice. Of course, he didn't leave. He didn't get kicked out of office, but he was impeached, I believe, by the House of Representatives twice. So yes, we've reached a point where this is too much. And I hope that we as people living in this country who also have the power to vote, I hope that we let our voices be heard and we just say enough is enough. Enough is enough. You're using the justice system to go too far. You have to drop these charges. You have to drop these charges. You have to drop these indictments. Let the man run, finish out his campaign, and then we can decide on who wins in November next year. But the rest of this stuff is nonsense. And it's wasting a whole bunch of money, time, money, resources. But I don't know. I'll see. I'll see what happens in the next couple weeks or so. See how people respond, because I know good and well they'll start taking polls. Try to get a pulse on where everyone's mind is, everyone's head is, as far as this goes. But that's where I am. And if you want to share your thoughts, your comments, feedback, gripes, frustrations, stress. You can also say, Eric, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't want to talk about this ever. You can share that as well. I'm totally fine with that, and it's very understandable. But I'm at a point where I just want to make sure that everyone is aware of what's going on. And we can't turn it off completely because we live here. And our votes do count. They do matter, which is why they're giving us the headache that they're giving us. And that's coming from both sides of the aisle. Our voting counts. But it shouldn't be from manipulation or influence or anything like that. Just whatever you get from your heart of hearts, that's how you vote. Not from what somebody said from behind a desk on TV, on the news, or from a judge's seat from that for that matter, or a lawyer that's standing up there behind a podium. Just you have to know in your heart, okay, this is what I want to do. This is why I want to do it, and vote that way. But there's a lot of people that just don't want to let us do that. And for me, it's like those are the types of people that I ignore. Because I want to always think independently of all the noise. So, I hope you got something out of this. I'll see you next time. Take care.